Physical Education Research. This is episode 84 and explores chapter 8 of Tony Rossi and colleagues' book, Workplace Learning in Physical Education, Emerging Teacher Stories from the Staffroom and Beyond. This week I'm delighted to welcome Sarah Jayachia Hartman as the practitioner responder, and I thank her for her considered words and for taking the time to respond. The words you hear in the response are Sarah's, but the voice is mine. I hope I do justice to her sentiment. This is an audio version of the Pepin blog that can be found at www.peprn.com. Creating spaces of possibility, not expectation. When new teachers start to make the transition from non-teacher to teacher, shouldn't this be with a sense of the possible rather than the expected? What are emerging teachers learning when they go into schools? Are they learning how to teach or how students learn, or are they learning how to be teachers? Where do teachers learn about pedagogy and equity and the like if it isn't in schools? The literature would suggest that first and foremost, non-teachers have to learn to be teachers before they can enhance their pedagogical knowledge. School, therefore, is not being positioned as a professional learning space, but as a place where new teachers learn about the profession. In the preceding blogs, we've established that the places that teachers spend most of their time, outside of the classroom, is the departmental staff room or PE office. We've also established that these places are not neutral. They are representative of different ways of acting, dressing, talking and being. They are physical spaces that come to be perceived in certain ways, i.e. supportive, conflicted, macho, sexist, etc. They are spaces that have come to represent certain conceptions of physical education and sport. They are spaces that are lived. They're not just rooms where people gather, but communities that have their own rules and expectations. As such, the physical education staff room should be viewed as a collective and shared living space, with its own house rules and duty rosters. It could be argued that before any professional learning can occur, the place that is the staff room needs to be understood and negotiated. Indeed, that is what the previous blogs have argued. The staff room is clearly an influential space for emerging teachers. Rossi and colleagues argue that until we know more about the dynamics of such a space and how it impacts on the ways in which teachers perceive and therefore internally construct teaching, then we are poorly positioned to help these spaces become professional learning spaces. At present, these are not places where the new teacher has agency or the ability to influence one's own field and change through learning within the practicum or through induction. Instead, new teachers are expected to fit in and take up and participate in the enduring construction of the physical education teacher and profession. The physical education staff room is traditionally constructed as a material space, one often geographically isolated from the rest of the school, where the department are housed. It is seen as a physical space and, for those of us who have been in one, it is the place to dump your bag between lessons. It should also, however, be considered as a social, cultural and emotional space, which has a strong influence on emerging teachers' current and future expectations about physical education. It is a space where the non-teacher is transitioned into the teacher. It is a space that acts on emerging teachers both consciously and unconsciously. It is not a space where many emerging teachers can resist the expected construction of physical education, but it is a space that varies considerably in its expectations and practices. For some teachers in this study, it was a space that was historically and socially shaped, be it as a lone teacher whose office was in an old storeroom near the gym, or as a fully integrated new teacher with her or his own desk, and in which there were very real constraints and expectations. For others, it was a space of possibility, a place for reopening and rethinking new possibilities of practice. For teachers caught in isolation, i.e. those, as we have heard from the practitioner responder in previous blogs, who made up the entirety of the physical education department, the space of possibility had to be self-constructed. While these individuals had no immediate colleagues to influence them about physical education, the school itself played a significant role in determining who they were. It determined where they spent most of their time, with who they could interact, and limited casual, serendipitous contact, as well as more focused social or work-related conversations. In short, they were often placed in departmental silos, either physically or conceptually, and experienced the ambivalent or low status in which physical education is held in the school system. For teachers positioned in larger groups, there were opportunities to interact, but also expectations about how these interactions should happen. For some, as discussed in earlier blogs, this meant being constrained in terms of the possible ways they could be. For others, they enjoyed a strong sense of openness, support and cooperation, both within and beyond the staff room. Significantly, these staff rooms were professional spaces that teachers felt they could influence and contribute to as time went by. In both these examples, space is culturally and historically shaped. In some cases, staff rooms can be seen as spaces that evoke certain subjectivities, practices and relationships. Indeed, the occupants, i.e. other teachers, plan for and expect them. In others, they are spaces of possibility that support and encourage new ideas, and which quickly drew emerging teachers towards the centre of practice. Importantly, they were not a single space. They were a space that has to be understood through its multiplicity and not through any assumed singularity. It is a space that has certain possibilities. What do we learn from these spaces? Are they places where emerging teachers learn what it means to be a teacher and a member of the physical education profession? Or are they spaces where this learning is negotiated? Are they places that expect certain practices? Or are they spaces that are accepting of new practices? Rossi and colleagues support the idea that for beginning teachers to learn the ways of thinking and acting associated with new kinds of teaching, they need to be placed with mentors who are already reformers in their classrooms and schools and to develop collaborative environments. This also means that the staff room has to become more than a physical place to dump your bag. It needs to be an opportunistic professional learning space that moves beyond the material and becomes a genuine space of possibility. Practitioner Response by Sarah Giachaya-Hartman. The PE offices where I have worked have been geographically isolated from the rest of the school. In fact, my first office was located so far away from my students, colleagues, gym and classroom, I ended up keeping most of my belongings with me and would find places to camp out throughout the school day. I worked in a department of 5 teachers, but did not share my office space with anyone else. I was given 25 different keys to access closets, gyms, locker rooms and doors, while my male colleagues were given 1 master key, and all of the equipment was kept in the boys' locker room. Not having access to a positive professional learning space made me feel socially isolated, and I was an inadequate teacher as a result. The opportunity to network with my peers was non-existent. Fortunately, the PE office in my second job was located in a slightly better location. Students and teachers would sometimes stop by to say hello. I felt less like a new teacher in this school, but never truly felt like I fit in with my department. Like this week's chapter states, there were expectations about how the department's interaction should happen, but I was never really given the rule book. I spent a lot of time at my desk wondering if I was supposed to be at an unplanned meeting or if it was okay for me to speak up during a conversation. After watching my students play volleyball for 4 consecutive months in class, I realised I needed to move on to a place where I was able to create positive learning experiences for my students and where I didn't need to conform or stay quiet in order to survive. Currently, I work in a department of 6 and share my office with 1 colleague. Our office is a place where we dump our social, emotional and actual baggage. And it is also a place where we laugh and talk and eat and plan. We are far away from the rest of the building, which can be nice when we really need to get work done, but can be somewhat stressful when it feels like we haven't seen non-PE teachers in days. So every day I make the choice to step out of my office to socialise with my peers, participate in non-PE professional development opportunities, and collaborate with my colleagues. This choice has allowed me to expand my pedagogical knowledge and reshape my peers' perceptions of physical education. More importantly, it has given me multiple professional learning spaces where I can thrive. My first 2 teaching jobs taught me that your professional learning space does not have to be in your office. It's your responsibility to find a place where your ideas are encouraged and your teaching practice is supported. Beginning and veteran teachers can turn their professional learning spaces into spaces of possibility by setting their own rules, making the choice to step out of their offices, and finding a place where they fit in. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, to your experiences? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week for the next Pepin podcast, where I will explore the next chapter of Rossi and colleagues' book. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Sarah for her contribution and for taking the time to reflect on this blog. I would also like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this podcast and in getting it out on time and in a semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Thank you.